This episode of On the Record is brought to you by Associated Equipment Distributors.
I'm Executive Editor Kim Schmidt. We're at the FEMA Marketing and Distribution Convention in Kansas City. Welcome to On the Record. Here's an update on what's currently impacting the ag equipment industry.
During CNH Industrial's earnings call for its third quarter, CEO Scott Wine addressed the company's goal of transitioning to in-house tech solutions. With around 75% of its factory fit solutions and 40% of its aftermarket solutions already produced in-house, CNH Industrial is aiming for almost all those solutions to be brought in-house by 2025. Wine said the company has been aggressively pursuing the strategy since 2019 and was accelerated by its acquisition of Raven Industries. Wine said, "Our tech stack hit an inflection point in 2023 with the integration of Raven and the contribution of some of our recent acquisitions. This activity allowed us to bypass years of organic development in key areas such as autonomy, vision, and guidance, which we further expedite by rapidly scaling our own tech talent. This steep increase in this ownership curve is no accident, and it is the manifestation of our strategy to take control of our tech offerings." When asked during the Q&A about how AGCO and Trimble's recently announced joint venture might impact the company, Wine said it won't and that the two companies' business relationships likely won't change. He said, "We still serve our customers well with a lot of products from Precision Planting and will continue to do that. Raven continues to be a supplier to AGCO and that will likely continue. We compete in the market, but we also sell to each other and we don't see that necessarily changing." Looking at the financials, CNH Industrial reported $13 billion in ag revenue for the first 9 months of the year, up 5% year-over-year, and $4.4 billion in ag revenue for the third quarter. Total revenue for the first 9 months of the year was almost $18 billion and almost $6 billion in the third quarter. CNH Industrial reported an increase in its net inventories as of September 30th to $6.5 billion versus $5.4 billion at the same point last year. President and CFO Oddone Inchiesa said during the earnings call that the company produced around 20% fewer low-horsepower tractors in third quarter 2023 globally compared to a year ago. High-horsepower tractor production was up 13% and combine production was up 8%. This week's dealers on the move include Redland Equipment, Kloss FarmPoint, and Plevna Implement. Echo dealer Plevna Implement announced it is purchasing McAllister Machinery Store in Rensselaer, Indiana. The dealership also announced plans to open a fifth store in northern Indiana. Kloss FarmPoint announced it has signed a 10-year lease for a permanent brick-and-mortar dealership in Henson, Kentucky, just a few miles down the road from its temporary location in Madisonville. Echo dealer Redland Equipment recently completed the purchase of Sorum Tractor Co., a single-store New Holland and Massey Ferguson dealer in Alamosa, Colorado. Redland now has five stores in Colorado. Now here's Noah Newman with the latest from the Technology Corner.
Thank you very much, Ben. Over the past year or so, we've seen colleges offer more precision-focused courses for their ag students, but one university in the South is taking it to a whole new level. Mississippi State University opened a brand new Agricultural Autonomy Institute in Starkville recently, and this will serve as an on-campus hub for research in robotics, AI, remote sensing, and more. The research infrastructure includes a 4,800-square-foot laboratory space and an autonomous acres proving ground that stretches 5 acres. It's a big step for the future of precision ag in the classroom and beyond.
We want to attract agricultural equipment companies to Mississippi. We want to conduct research that leads to technology-based startup companies. And we want to develop a new workforce who have the ability to work in the new world of robotics and mechatronics, computer coding, et cetera, whether that be on farm or in manufacturing or distribution or service. I really hope to see Mississippi become the Silicon Valley of agricultural autonomy.
And this concept has been in the works for quite some time. Actually, a group of about 40 researchers across campus recently established an autonomy working group, and they've already developed robotic technology to autonomously harvest cotton. You read more about that story at precisionfarmingdealer.com. In the Technology Corner, I'm Noah Newman. Back to you, Ben.
Thanks, Noah. During the Farm Equipment Manufacturer Association's Fall Marketing and Distribution Convention in Kansas City, Richard Brock of Brock Associates provided an outlook for how grain prices and farm income might impact farmers' purchasing plans. Brock, whose firm manages grain sales for about 800,000 acres, noted that farm wealth is at an all-time high, In addition, debt continues to be extremely low on farms, he says. Asset values have gone up faster than debt has gone up on farm lines, so you have a lot of equity to work with, he says. When farmers have excess cash, their top two priorities to spend it on are dirt and steel, Brock says. While some are projecting sales to be soft, Brock doesn't think that will be the case.
I think as we move into 2024, obviously with the price of grain, net income is going to be softer this year than it was last year. But farmers are also going to receive some pretty hefty crop insurance payments this year, so it's not going to be down as much as some people might be anticipating it's going to be down. But more importantly, we're going into this time frame where farmers are very solid financially, good balance sheets, and a lot of carryover income from previous years. So we don't see much of a change coming in farm equipment purchases for at least the next 6 months. And then, a lot will depend on what happens to prices this spring as we go into next fall. But for right now, if you just look at the price of corn and soybeans, some people are expecting sales to be really soft. We don't think that's going to be the case. Because we also are going to be impacted by the fact of a lot of farm consolidation taking place right now with the size of farms increasing. And so a lot of the purchases we think will be technology driven because the farmers want to have the most current technology possible.
In terms of how interest rates could impact farmers' equipment purchasing decisions, Brock doesn't anticipate they will have much impact.
Some people will talk about that, but still historically, these are not high price interest rates. They're just low compared to where we were 3 years ago. So interest rates are not going to have a lot to do with it. And, we think land prices are just going to stay flat from where they are right now. We've seen some big increases in the last 2.5-3 years. And so, but that's helped build up the net worth of producers, which gives them more buying power. So, those are your primary factors. And as we've said many times, if farmers have excess cash, they like to buy dirt and they like to buy steel. And so it favors land prices and equipment prices. And so as farmers expand, though, in acreage, they need equipment and they all want newer stuff and not old stuff. So I think it bodes well for the industry for the next 6 months.
According to the final results of this year's Farm Equipment Dealer Business Outlook and Trends report, dealers are pulling back on increasing their capital spending and reporting fewer early orders. For 2024, just 15% of dealers are reporting an increase in early orders, down from 51% who had forecast the same for 2023 in last year's report. At the same time, 56% of dealers are reporting declines in early orders for 2024, with 15% reporting a decline of more than 10%. This is the highest percentage of dealers reporting declines in early orders seen in the last 5 years. For 2024, 50% of dealers are forecasting no increase in their capital spending plans, the highest this percentage has been in 5 years. Another 35% are planning to increase their capital spending 1-5%, which is a 5-year low for this category. Just 9% are forecasting an increase of 6-10%, and another 6% are planning to increase their capital spending 11% or more. Among places they will invest, almost 63% indicated they'd be putting money into their shop and service departments, a 5-year high for this category and its 4th year in a row as the most popular option. The second most popular option was investing in mobile service vehicles at 48.5%, though this is the second lowest this percentage has been in 5 years. Another 39% of dealers will invest in their showrooms, and 37% said they'll be investing in their business information systems. In its third quarter 2023 earnings reported on November 8th, Kubota reported $10.1 billion in revenue for its farm equipment and engine segment for the first 9 months of the year. This represented a 14% year-over-year increase from $8.9 billion in the same period last year. Total revenue for the first 9 months of the year came in at $15 billion, up 16% year-over-year. Total revenue from North America, including revenue outside of Kubota's ag business, came in at $6.2 billion for the first 9 months of the year, an 18% year-over-year increase. In the U.S., revenue for the first 9 months was $5.3 billion, up 14% year-over-year. This brought the percentage of Kubota's North American revenue coming from the U.S. to 85.4% versus 88.4% in the same period last year. Inventories as of September 30th were valued at $4.7 billion, its third year in a row of increase. This week's data point is brought to you by the Ag Equipment Intelligence 2024 Executive Briefing. According to the fall 2023 Agricultural Lender Survey results from the American Bankers Association and the Federal Agricultural Mortgage Corporation, ag lenders' top concern for producers in 2023 is liquidity. The report said that lender sentiment this year for producers largely reflects the recent pullback in farm profitability. Liquidity as a top concern is followed closely by farm income levels. These two were also listed as top concerns in 2021 and 2022, highlighting their importance even during periods of elevated profitability. As always, we welcome your feedback. You can send comments and story suggestions to bthorpe@lessetermedia.com. For On the Record, I'm Ben Thorpe. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.